From the studios of Teeing It Up in the swamps of Jersey, this is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling for Monday, April 10th, the day after the Masters 2017. Joined by Sean Davison down at Florida State to talk about what happened yesterday. Good afternoon, Sean.
How's it going, Jeremy?
I'm good. We've sat here on many occasions, and I think you and I had the same thought, which is I didn't think Sergio would do this. He had become so close so often. He had had the issues with blaming people. He got heckled horrendously at the 2013 players. He had all the problems, the missed putts, the blame games, the fact that his game was up top, rock bottom. He had the anchoring. His game was so poor for a while that he became the vice captain in a Ryder Cup. And here he is now back on cloud nine, having finally now won for 74, won his first major. It is really ironic, not so much ironic, but just really fascinating how he fought and fought and fought and eventually climbed the mountain and got it.
Well, Sergio Garcia is a guy that a lot of people in the golf community and who watch sports have felt for. It can't be easy to play your best golf at the height of the Tiger Woods era, when Tiger Woods has just been head and toes above, you know, everybody else. So it's hard to come up in that era, and it's hard to compete in that era. And now, all the youngsters that have grown up watching and idolizing Tigers have taken hold, and it becomes even harder for a guy like a Sergio Garcia at his age to go out there and get the job done. So although people criticized him for voicing his doubts, the bottom line is that his doubts were justified. So along the lines, I feel like we've seen Sergio Garcia mature as a golfer and mature as a person. And he's somebody who's fallen out of the graces of a lot of people's eyes, and he's somebody that has come back to us as he's grown older and matured and come back to the game. So this is a popular win for a lot of reasons in the game of golf.
And also, what's fascinating is how the fans have done a 180 on him. He became the sympathetic figure. He was heckled. He had the waggles issue. He said the fried chicken remark. He had so many different and disparate things that got fans riled up. He blamed golf gods. The fans were so against him. And then yesterday, they were all Sergio. Once Ricky and Jordan went backwards, they were all in on Sergio. No offense to Justin Rose, but they were all in on Sergio. And he walked off the 72nd green with fans chanting his name. It's a remarkable 180 from just where we were 4 years ago.
Absolutely, and where we were 4 years ago was when he was calling out Tiger Woods, and you don't do that and expect to be cheered for by fans. But again, what we've seen from Sergio in the years since is he's recommitted himself to the game. He's not run his mouth as much, and he's shown 1999 like joy once again. And that's the guy that everybody fell in love with to begin with, and that's the guy that a lot of people rallied behind. And whether it's been in match play format like the Ryder Cup or any other format, we've seen a lot of vintage Sergio in the years just recently. And he's become somebody that a lot of people have found some support for. So when he found himself in contention in a major, and the young Americans that a lot of the American fans put a lot of stock in found themselves falling out of contention, Sergio Garcia became the immediate fan favorite. And that just, you know, it's incredible to see how that has taken a 180. And it's incredible to see that he's finally got that green jacket, that he's finally got that major title.
The thing that really stood out to me yesterday, Sean, was how he persevered. He, you know, look, so many guys have made that long walk, that 30 seconds or however long it is walk from 9 green to 10 tee, and things have changed. And whether the phrase that's become so cliche gets into your head and you're like, okay, this is now for real, or whatever it is, we've seen guys falter down 10. Look at Rory in 2011. And Sergio just played 10 and 11 atrociously. Gets the 13 tee, the ball doesn't cut, ends up in a bush, has to take the unplayable, and gets that up and down for par. And I really thought that when Justin Rose failed the birdie 13 and he made the par, He was still in it. He had a beating heart. I ruled him out on Twitter. You can go back through my tweets and I said adios. But for my money, that changed everything. Then he went to 14, then he went to 15. He makes the eagle on 15 playing aggressive, which he had all day hitting driver off 1 and 3. But the way he rebounded from the issues on 13 showed a mature and much different Sergio and set the stage for everything else.
Yes, it sure did. And something that you and I have talked about on multiple occasions, Jeremy, is that there are certain guys that want to get the job done. They are going to have to do it from behind.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things. He had the lead. He tightened up right around the turn. The back nine of Augusta, there's a lot of lore there. You hear the roars echo through the trees. And it can get in your head. And this is a guy who's had those kinds of things get in his head. He faltered under pressure, in stroke play, on big stages, time and time again. What I think helped was, A, getting that job done on the par five, finding a way to make a five when he could have been down four going out of that green. It could have been a two-shot swing really easily, and he could have been incredibly out of touch with Justin Rose. But instead, he salvages a five. Justin Rose can't get up and down from behind the green, and they're even. So now you've got the confidence of getting out of that situation. Now you're building on that confidence by making a good swing on 14, and now you're in attack mode because you've got to be. You're not trying to protect anything. You're going for it. And that's when Sergio plays his best golf, whether it's down that point in a cup match or whatever it is. Sergio Garcia plays some of his best golf and some of his worst golf when his back is against the wall. And that's exactly what he needed. He didn't need to protect anything. He needed to just go out there and go for it. And the second Justin Rose tightened up a little bit, he was there to pounce on it. And that's exactly what we wanted to see from Sergio for years and years. And we finally, after all this time, got it.
This is a total aside, but I think Ricky Fowler may have to win his first major the same way. I think he may have to come from behind, too. I think that being out in front, much like his players win in 2015, that being out in front may be the force and the stress reliever that ultimately gives him the free ride. Sir Nick talked yesterday about how Sergio's 63, essentially 10 birdies, and would have been 63 potentially if it had been stroke play in the Ryder Cup against Phil really helped him, because when it became a match play like situation, he was able to maybe conjure up the old, that match play mode and that Ryder Cup mode that we've seen so often of Sergio. The thing that I also thought was interesting was, I thought Justin Rose's putt on 18 in regulation was in. It misses. Sergio hit what he said was a good putt, but to me looked like a horrendous putt. It was just never on the right line, at least to my eye, in regulation on 18. And he still rebounded well in the playoff, striped the drive, hit a great second shot, and ultimately made the putt after Rose faltered. I think that mental rebound and not getting upset, because you've got that 10-15 minute period where your mind can ruminate in weird ways. Look at Lexi Thompson 2 weeks ago. I thought that as soon as she failed to win a regulation and that went to a playoff, she was in trouble because of all the emotions that have been pent up over all that time. And for Sergio, he was able to stay calm on that even keel and eventually win it come playoff time.
I'm going to go back to the putt first. And what's funny is, as I've been on the phone with you on speakerphone, I've been pulling up my Twitter, and I like to do live commentary, as do you. And just to see what I thought when I saw him make that putt, and I quote, the first one was, not sure what he saw in that putt, my goodness. And the second one was, he started that putt out there. It wasn't a push, just a ghastly misread in a big moment.
It was just a horrendous putt.
All you have to do is you look at some of the most iconic putts to that hole location from that same angle over any of the Masters highlights that we have watched throughout the week leading up to Thursday, and you know that putt moves to the right, and he started it out there. From the second he lined it up out there, I was hoping that he would, do the last-second adjustment, and some players will make that last-second adjustment and adjust the angle, and he never did. So from that point before it, I really didn't think that putt had much of a chance. And credit to him, considering how things went south for him when he missed a similar kind of putt at Carnoustie in 2007, and he didn't rebound well in the playoff. Credit to him for coming back, regathering himself, having faith in his ball striking ability, which was absolutely phenomenal from about 14 on, and getting the job done. And that's a mature Sergio Garcia who's battle-tested and has been through the best and the worst that the game has had to offer, and now here he is.
Let's go through some of these other guys. Justin Rose, look, he's as classy as they come. I mean, in that whole interview with Daddy Pepper is just about the classiest loser interview you will ever see in sports. I mean, he could not have been more class. His back tightened up. He started hitting some high right shots. It hurt him on 18 in the playoff. But this is a guy who's got that U.S. Open. He won the gold medal, obviously, for Britain last August. I think this is somebody on the right venue, and if his health allows, is going to keep on contending in these spots.
No, he's got a game that's going to take him a long ways. He strikes the ball very well. He's hitting it straight. He hits it long. And the thing with Justin Rose that we've seen over the recent years is a lot of the same thing that we've said about Sergio, and the same thing that we say about Stenson on Sundays, and the same thing that if you look at the LPGA, we frequently say about Lexi Thompson. Can you get your putter to cooperate for you over 72 holes of major championship or just tournament golf? It's been the club that's been hot and cold for Rose, and it's the one club that can absolutely make or break him. And he putted reasonably well. He had that short miss putt on 17. He had the putt that, as you and I both agree, looked in on 18 to perhaps win that tournament regulation. There was nothing wrong with that putt whatsoever, except that it caught the lip and stayed out. But he putted very well, and this is a guy who contended at Augusta on multiple occasions. And I have every reason to believe, as do plenty of others, including Justin himself, that he's going to win a Masters one day, sort of in the same realm that a lot of people believe that it's not a matter of if, but when Rory will win one as well. And Justin also, we've seen him play well at the Open Championship. He's played well in big moments, whether it be at Marion or in Rio. He's got a game suited. He's got a Hall of Fame resume that he's quickly building. And he will get there, and he'll win plenty more of these bigger profile events, I would think. And he'll be as classy as he was in defeat as he was, or as he will be when he wins these things. He's somebody that really is genuinely one of the good guys out there. There's a lot of them that really are. But he's somebody that's easy to get behind. And, you know, as much as you like to see what happened to Sergio, finally see him pull through, your heart has to go out to Justin Rose a little bit. But you also have to know that with a game as good as his, he'll be back, and he'll be back soon.
And he's fine, too. You know, I think part of this, too, is that they're extremely close friends, obviously, Ryder Cup teammates. I think if Justin had lost to, and I'm just going to yank a name out there, someone who he may not be close to, Kevin Chappell, okay? If Justin loses to Kevin Chappell, I think you feel that emotion, negative emotions more. When you lose to a friend like that and you're genuinely happy to see Sergio finally get off the schneid and get that first win, I think it changes your loser emotion, much the same way that when Jordan lost the PGA to Jason Day 2 years ago, he didn't have the same disappointment that he did at St. Andrews because he won it for Jason. Jason played better and was clearly going to win that title. Justin did lose this title in a sense, but he also lost it to somebody who's one of his best friends. And I think that whole dynamic will certainly help Justin as he gets over this. Ricky and Jordan never got any mojo yesterday. Jordan, his game looked off, the swing looked off, which is kind of weird. He just didn't quite hit it well with the irons and didn't quite make any putts. But I want to focus on Ricky because I think Jordan needed to get past this, and he's not past this, and I think he'll come back next year with a completely clear head, and I think he'll be fine. Ricky's the mystifying one. Ricky never got really any mojo. He didn't play poorly. He didn't play horribly. He just kind of was just on kind of malaise, cruise control, sort of.
Yeah, it was a stuck in neutral kind of day for both Fowler and Spieth. And I think there's something to the saying and to the adage that if you're playing with somebody who's playing really well, it's easier for you to play well. If you're playing with somebody who's playing poorly, you can kind of fall into that trap, and both guys have their moments where they didn't play well at all, and then they have their moments where they made a few birdies. And it's hard to break free when your playing competitor is struggling. And it just so happened that Fowler played pretty well early while Spieth was struggling, and Spieth played well later while Fowler was struggling. And it just, neither one of them had their best stuff. And it's unfortunate because you had two young Americans in the penultimate group that a lot of American viewers had a lot of high hopes for, and two guys that without any doubt will be two prominent faces in the game for years to come. But at the same time, it was good to see them up there, and it's good experience for both of them. Yes, for Jordan to get through the first Masters answering all the questions in regards to what it's going to feel like, how he's going to respond, how he's going to handle the week and the moments whenever he approaches Amen Corner, whenever he gets to the back nine on Sunday. He's done it. He's gotten through it. He can put it to bed. He'll always be asked about it from time to time. It's not going to go away. But at the very least, all the questions you have to ask when it's the most immediate thing that's happened in recent history, you can put to bed and you can put that out of mind for the most part. For Fowler, he's got several tour wins. He's picking them up slowly. He's contending in majors. And it's one of those things where he's going to keep knocking on the door and he's going to realize at some point his true potential in one of few of these things. But until he does, and until everything comes together just right for him, it's going to be one of those frustrating deals where he might just not have his best stuff on Sunday. And that's exactly what happened today. He didn't have his, or today, yesterday, he didn't have his best stuff, and he made it work okay. He ended up with a decent finish, not the one that a lot of viewers would have wanted to see, especially Americans. But he'll be back, and he'll contend again, and he'll probably win more times this year, and maybe he'll find himself on top of the leaderboard in one of the major championships moving forward. He's certainly capable of it. He's got the pieces coming together. He's won a tournament already this year. He's contended in a major. Everything's trending upward for Ricky Fowler, and something that he does really well is keep things in perspective and look at the big picture, and the bottom line is that he and his game are trending upward, and he can't be too upset about that. He'll contend again, and he'll win one of these things sooner rather than later.
Mr. Professional Backdoor Matt Kuchar did it again. The dude hasn't won in a while, which is a little odd for him, but he got the bronze last year in Rio, and the dude is just Mr. Consistency, and he gets another sneaky backdoor finish.
Hey, you can call him Mr. Consistency. I call him Mr. Money. You can keep racking in those top tens, those top fives, those top threes. He did a cool bronze medal. One of the first medalists in the Olympics in 100 years. You get yourself on the leaderboard in a few majors. You make an ace. You give a golf ball to a fan. You've got Twitter absolutely in love with you, even though the fans have already been in love with him, but now everybody loves him even more. I mean, it is a good time to be Matt Kuchar, who, you know, 7 years ago, he was out on the Web.com tour trying to get his game back together, trying to get back to the PGA Tour. Now he's won a Players' Championship. He's become a mainstay on these Ryder Cup and President's Cup teams. He's got people chanting Cooch every time he walks down a fairway off a tee box. I mean, it's easy to smile and be happy-go-lucky, which is what we love about Matt Kuchar, when you have the turnaround that he's seen in his game over the past 7 or 8 years and have one of those late season or later in your, you know, 30s and 40s part of your career kind of surge like we saw with Kenny Perry and like we've seen Phil Mickelson put together toward the end of his 30s and into his 40s, where he just picked up steam again, and everybody fell in love with him even more. And you're seeing that with Matt Kuchar, albeit to a greater scale, where he fell off the tour, came back, and now here we are. And I would not be surprised to see Matt Kuchar win a couple of tournaments again and contend in more majors again. And heck, the way these majors are going, he might backdoor win one of them.
Talking with Sean Davidson about what happened yesterday at Augusta National. Is there anybody else that you want to say a quick word about here? Anybody else that stands out on this leaderboard or that happened yesterday that you want to make note of? For me, I think we cannot overlook the importance of days like yesterday to a certain set of young people. Kevin Chappell never ended up on CBS once yesterday, but he ended up in the top 10. And that's a huge finish for him as he tries to continue to build his career and get his first PGA Tour win, be able to play in a, you know, highly charged environment. Your guy, Brooks Koepka, snuck in there into a T11. Did not get any attention on CBS, but he snuck in there. And Thomas Peters, he picks up a T4. He shoots 68 yesterday. He came up short of a victory. But I think we're very close to seeing Thomas Peters. Maybe at Sawgrass, that could be a good venue for him where a ball striker needs to really shine. I think we're on the cusp of Thomas Peters doing something big in a big spot.
I'll tell you, Jeremy, you mentioned Thomas Peters. I started pointing at my phone. That's the guy that I am really starting to like a whole lot. He hits it far. He's a good ball striker. Now, with the exception, as you mentioned, Koepka, who struggled with his ball striking up until around the match play where he started turning it back on, he reminds me in a lot of ways of just a European version of Brooks Koepka. Guys who can absolutely belt it, who can absolutely compress the ball perfectly and hit some stellar iron shots, who can absolutely light up golf courses and can overpower them a la Dustin Johnson as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing Thomas Peters moving forward. He finished second in L.A., he's finished fourth in the Masters, and now he's building some momentum. He's accepted membership or temporary membership with the PGA Tour, so he's racking up FedEx Cup points now. And I really like where he's going. And I look forward to seeing what comes up for him. Another guy that I like that's up in the top 10, Paul Casey. A few years ago, he was trying to get back into the Masters for the first time in a while. Had the personal turmoil back in 2009 after reaching number 3 in the world. Went through that tough divorce. Has had some family issues. Has had some health issues. And in a lot of ways, just not to the same extent as Sergio, who's had the public fallout and has come back to the graces of the public. Paul Casey has had to come back to the game as well, and has had to rediscover his game and fall back in love with golf in general. And another one of those really classy, a lot of the Brits like to say delightful, and he is in every aspect of the word. He's a delightful human being. And it's good to see him finish up in the top 10. And then a guy surprisingly we haven't talked about, Rory McIlroy. Another top 10 at the Masters, proving that he can play that course well. And if it wasn't for a guy by the name of Jordan Spieth who lit it up one year, if it wasn't for a few of the other players who played incredibly well, when McIlroy has also played well, he would have won probably multiple Masters by now. So you have to think that with the consistency with which he plays there, one of these years Rory's going to get the job done. And lastly, I want to go to Justin Rose. You know, as somebody who's dealt with back issues myself, the one thing that I can say that I mentioned that I pointed out on Twitter a few times, I was watching, the one thing that's hard to do when your back is tight, when your back is aching, is convince yourself to accelerate through the ball and through impact. You sort of swing at it, and you don't come through the way you would. You don't accelerate the way you would through. And regardless of whether or not you're spraying it a little bit right or coming up a little bit short left, one of the things you typically will see is that you hit it short. You came up short in the bunker. You came up short left at 14. Even on 16, I believe, he got a good hop forward onto the green where he hit it short. And it's one of those things where he just didn't quite seem to have the zip on the golf ball that you see somebody who's not tight. So in that regard, I feel for Justin Rose in that respect. And I credit him for playing under par despite his back tightening up on.
Final thing, Sean, as we spin forward towards Sawgrass and the Players, I always like to end with a very similar question about the winner. But this is a unique one. Sergio's 37. And much like Henrik Stenson, who got his first major win at a later age, or Jimmy Walker for that matter, here we go. Sergio, one of the most talented people of this generation, who has been beset, unlike Stenson and Walker, but more like Phil back when he won in 04, and there's some others, by major mental demons. He's now freed. He's about to be married in July. He's freed. He got the help from Seve and Jose Maria in the vibes category that he needed yesterday. And here he is, a major champion, playing great golf. He's now won three times in the last 12 months. The Byron Nelson in Dallas. He won in Dubai earlier this year, and now he wins in Augusta. Do you think we're going to enter a sequence where he's going to have a chance to win two or three more majors and make up for lost time? Or is this not going to be a trend? Or is golf just too deep right now and somebody like him won't be able to replicate this enough over a time span while his game is still sharp.
So the thing with Sergio Garcia is that he does everything so consistently well, generally speaking, and the putter has been what's held him back, and it almost held him back on Sunday in Augusta. But as I look at some of the major venues that we're going to be going to throughout the course of the year, I mean, not even specifically looking at them, I'll specifically look at the next one at TPC Sawgrass. He's won there, and he's building momentum. I think it's very possible that we see Sergio Garcia win another Players' Championship. He contends there with regularity. He's coming in on incredible momentum, as you mentioned, winning the Byron Nelson, winning in Dubai, now winning the Masters Tournament. And I feel like that could be the next step, maybe the validation, if you will, where he wins yet another big tournament. And we've seen him, regardless of venue, play well in U.S. Opens and play well in Open Championships and play well in PGAs. I think no doubt we'll see him on these leaderboards into Sunday again. My question is, now that he has that major on his resume, and in many ways, if you look throughout, you know, some of the different opinions that are out there, that was the part that completed his Hall of Fame resume when you've got the stellar Ryder Cup record that he has and the wins around the world that he has. I mean, he is on cloud nine right now. But now that he's got that first one, finally, does that free you up on Sundays in general now, moving forward? And if it does, I think he absolutely can win a couple more majors, because that the last hurdle that Sergio had to clear was himself. And now that he's finally done that, can he do it again? But we'll see him contend, and that'll be the question as to whether or not he can get the job done again and again. But he's got plenty of time to figure it out. He's got plenty of time to build from it, and I think that we absolutely could see him again.
We shall see what happens as time goes on. As always, Sean, we thank you for coming on Teeing It Up and talking about one of the greatest days every year on the sports calendar, Masters Sunday.
Absolutely. The roars at Augusta never get old, and we've got another great champion. It's good to see Sergio finally break through.
You got it. Thanks, Sean, and thanks for listening, everybody, to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. We'll see you right back here next week. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.